This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So with that, we've mentioned excessively about the characteristics of a mushrik in the past sessions. Now, so we know of a mushrik, and we know how to avoid it if we know their characteristics. And it's being read. The Prophet Muhammad says he's reading this out.
قل هذه سبيلي على بصيرة ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من
to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. This is my path. The path that you're leading to, you're following now is a good leader. Is a person who leads by example. Singular path. There's only one path that we follow. Sabil, which is in a singular form. One path, a singular path that we follow, not multiple paths. In fact, there's a hadith by Ibn Mas'ud. And he says that one day he was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drew a line in the sand. He drew a line in the sand. And then he said, this line, this path is a path to Allah. Is a path of Allah. And then he started to draw lines to the right and lines to the left. And then he said, these other paths, the line to the right and the line to the left, this is a path, but evil and shaitan is on this path. Meaning what? And he recites the ayah, verily that this straight path, is the only path to Allah. So follow this path. Any other path will lead you astray. Meaning that there's only one path to follow. There are other paths, but these paths exist with shaitan in it. So when you say sabili, in the ayah that we're reading here, is singular, is one path. And that path leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah continues when he says, adru ila Allah. I call you upon this path to Allah. And then he says something more significant. He says, ala basiratin. Ala basiratin means with clarity, clear. Now you can be on a path. You can be following somebody, right? You can be following somebody with a flashlight, for example, but it's dark and it's dim. The path is not that clear. If you are following a person in the dark, and that person only has one flashlight, would you be able to take every single step that person takes? It's not clear. It's not possible for you to take that every single step that person takes. But this path that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling to, and it's not just calling to the Quraysh, is calling to all of mankind as well as the jinn. Because he's not specifying in these words here. Ad'u ila Allah. General form. He's not saying ad'ukum or ad'u nas or ad'u Quraysh. He doesn't say it specifically. He says ad'u. I just call to Allah. A general form for every person present and in the future. Mankind and jinnkind. Ad'u ila Allah ala basiratin. With clarity. And subhanAllah, when we think about this clarity, we cannot think more about the clarity that is given in the Quran. My brothers and sisters, whenever we study the Quran, The more we study the Quran, the more clarity it gives in every single portion of our life. No matter what it is. Wallah, like, you at home, your dealings at work, your dealings in transaction, buying and selling, you as a father, you as a mother, in every case in life, whenever you study the Quran, it gives you basira. It gives you clarity. As if you can step foot in every single footstep on the straight path of this, of the Prophet Muhammad. It's so clear that you can, it's as if, metaphorically speaking, you are taking the same exact steps as the Prophet Muhammad. That's the clarity that we're speaking about. Ala basiratin, with truth and clarity. And then he says, Ana wa man ittaba'ani. He says, for me, I, and those who follow me. Is extraordinary here. He's singling out very specific people here. For those who follow his path. Ala basiratin, ana. He's saying himself, I am on this path, and those who follow me. For what? To give you clarity. Now, who are those who follow him? Now, first and foremost, what are we learning from this ayah? As a mu'min, what do? First of all, we follow our Prophet Muhammad and the clear path that he paved for us. And then what do? Ad'u ila Allah. We invite, we give da'wah, we call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is telling us here that we have clarity and other people don't. Allah has given us the best gift that anybody could give anybody. Because it gives them clarity in their whole, in their entire life, in every aspect of their life. We have a light bulb. We have the flashlight. And this flashlight is not any ordinary flashlight. This flashlight clears the path for you to be able to step on every single footstep. To make sure that they follow us. To who? Ila Allah. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A clear path to Allah, and we're going to hold it to ourselves? No. Ad'u ila Allah. We invite others. We don't hold it for ourselves. It's not this, that's not what Islam teaches us. So in this case, a mu'min is a person who learns Islam, who learns the Quran, who learns the clarity, and invite others to it. يَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. They invite others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the characteristic of a Muslim. And that's the characteristic of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwan, he took this job so seriously that he lost sleep due to it. He was stressed, so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal an entire surah, an entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam because he couldn't, he was so overwhelmed, and he just took it upon his shoulders. He took it upon himself to give da'wah. To give da'wah to who? To his worst enemies. That was our Prophet. Why? Why would he waste time for people that just hated him, called him names, made difficulty within his own family, called him even pouring guts from a camel in front of the entire market in Mecca while he was in sujood. They did such, how would you say it? They were such at a level where they caused him so much pain and agony. But our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the ability to ignore and forgive. Why? Because he wanted, what's that word? He wanted salvation for these people. He wanted to make sure that these people were saved from the hellfire. Imagine, for a person to be able to suppress the anger and jealousy and all the stress that was put upon him by these people, and yet he forgave them. That's extraordinary character to have. To ignore everything that they did just because you wanted to save them from the hellfire. And that's how we should be as Muslims. That's how we should be. To give da'wah for the sole purpose for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Ignore who they are. Ignore what they did. Ignore everything that they did to you or to other people. Why? Because what's more important is that they are saved from the hellfire. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us, allow us to be the ones who carry the torch of Islam. Who carry to be able to carry the torch of Islam and pass it on to other people. Because this torch is not gonna be put out. This torch will continue to burn, to show people clarity, to show people the light, with us or without us. So when we ask Allah to allow us to hold this torch, is Allah's grace upon us. That's Allah's mercy upon us. Because He can easily switch us with somebody else. So when Allah tells the Prophet Muhammad, Ana wa man ittaba'ani, myself and those who follow me. Now those who follow him are specifically those who carry this torch. To carry this torch and spread it throughout the world. Because if you look at the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not stop spreading the deen of Allah. It was a part of their characteristic. It was who they were. No matter what they did, no matter where they were, even if they had to go to war to spread the deen of Allah, even if they had to sacrifice their own self, they would do it. They would spread the deen of Allah. And those are the people who follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how do we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There are three specific sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of which is called sunnah qawliya. Sunnah qawliya is a sunnah of the sayings or the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if we want to follow or be of those who follow the Prophet Muhammad, we should know what he says through his sayings and his hadith. Number two is a sunnah fi'liyah. The sunnah in which the actions of the Prophet Muhammad does. So whether it be, you know, using the miswak, for example, or always smiling in the presence of others. Or when entering upon his wives, he uses the miswak, right? The things that he do in a daily life, not necessarily the things that he say, but the hadith in which people, the Sahabas, witness the Prophet Muhammad doing. Like sitting when you're drinking water. That is an action of the Prophet Muhammad. That is the Sunnah. So the actions in which he does is how we can follow the Prophet Muhammad. And third and last is a Sunnah Taqiriyya, which means the actions that are done by others, not necessarily our Prophet, but the people around him and their actions that the Prophet Muhammad approved of. Right? So one example is the two people who prayed. I forgot the example, but I believe one of them, okay, I don't want to use that example because I don't quite remember it, but an action in which one of the Sahabas does, and they go back to the Prophet Muhammad, telling him what they did, and the Prophet Muhammad himself accepted what they did. That is Sunnah Taqiriyya. So these three specific things are ways that we can follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the biggest thing is da'wah. The biggest thing that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us with is his teachings for us to follow and for us to teach others. That is the biggest thing. That is what we have to understand, specifically in this ayah. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, and those who follow me. Because in the beginning he says, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I call people to Allah. And that's what we should be following. Now the ayah continues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Now we hear this verse every single day. After we pray, we say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And it's typically translated by saying, exalted is Allah. All praise is due to Allah. But we don't, it's hard to really understand what SubhanAllah means. Now, to understand what it means, we look into specific ayat in the Quran. Now, there are many, a list of ayats in the Quran. And I'll try to condense it into a few ayats just for us to explain what SubhanAllah really means. Now, in basic English, SubhanAllah means that you declare or you recognize that Allah is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Not only perfect, but every perfection, everything that exists that is perfect is due to Allah, is by Allah. Allah himself is perfect, and everything that we know that is perfect is due to him, is because of Allah that is perfect. Right? So our body, Allah's creation, just the mere fact that the lens of the eye is so perfect that nobody else in history can recreate the lens of the eye. That is perfection. The cycle of day, when the moon sets and the sun rises at a very specific time, at the occurrence in which is so perfect, any 10 minutes later or 1 minute later, it might cause a destruction of Earth. It might cause one side to be 10 degrees colder and the other side 10 degrees hotter. And 10 degrees is a lot, right? If we just take 69 degrees and we take it to 79 degrees, we're outside sweating already. It's just 10 degrees. That is the perfection of Allah. The distance from the moon from the Earth is perfection. The distance from the sun to the Earth is perfection. So when we recognize the perfection of Allah, that's when we say Subhanallah. All perfection is due to Allah. Allah is perfect. Exalted is He. That's when we recognize. Whenever we say Subhanallah, just like in the ayah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ.
They say, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ, exalted is You, perfection is because of You. We have no knowledge except what You have taught us. Indeed, it is You that is all-knowing and all-wise. Now, knowledge. Knowledge, if you think about knowledge, it brings perfection. Because America is so, the system seems so like systematically perfect, that knowledge is from who? You take the banking system. You take the streetlights, right? You take any system that is implemented, that human beings take and they learn from. All knowledge is due to Allah. Perfection comes from knowledge. That's how we can perfect an engine of a car, for example. When we perfect buildings of buildings, in Dubai, for example, if you think about Dubai, they can build the tallest, most heaviest building on earth, on sand in which a child plays in, and when they just put their hands in, it just moves away. But because of the knowledge that Allah gives us, we can build the tallest building on earth, on sand. Where does that knowledge come from? What does that perfection come from? Subhanallah. Perfection only comes from Allah. Do you understand? This is how we say. Whenever we say Subhanallah, 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 after every single prayer, our prayer might not be perfect. Our dua might not be perfect. We might not be perfect. But we know that perfection is from Allah. That's what we know. And Allah gives perfection to those He will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and He speaks about those who claim that Allah has a son. And He says,
وَقَالُوا اتَّخِذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ.
He says, they say, Allah has taken a son, has taken a child. Exalted is He, meaning Allah is perfect. Rather, to Allah, the skies and everything on earth belongs to Allah. The comparison here is that a simple child is nothing that Allah can... That in itself is so simple. Rather, Allah owns everything else. Allah owns everything in the sky and everything on earth. There's no comparison. They say that Allah has a child. That is simple. It's nothing compared to what Allah owns. Allah doesn't own a child. Rather, Allah owns everything. Everything that we know. Do you see the ayah that when Allah recognized Subhanallah, is such great bounty that Allah has perfection in. When Allah says He owns everything, wallahi, there's nothing else that is in existence that's comparable to Allah's perfection. So we have people who say Allah has a child. That is nothing. Rather, Allah owns something more than that. Subhanallah. I'll share one more ayah just to understand what subhanallah means. With Musa alayhi salam, there was one point in time when he went and asked Allah in the Surah Al-A'raf, when Musa alayhi salam, he arrived on the appointed time when Allah asked. And he spoke to his Lord and he said, "Oh my Lord, show me yourself. Show me my Lord. Show me you." He's speaking to Allah. "That I just may look at you. I just might take a glance at your face." Musa alayhi salam, he just wanted to see Allah. Now imagine, if you study Musa alayhi salam and his relationship to Allah, in Surah Taha, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and Bani Israel from Fir'aun, and they cross the Red Sea. When they cross the Red Sea, Musa alayhi salam is done with his duty. He's finished. The work or the job that Allah gave Musa, he's completed it. So what he wanted to do, the only thing that was on his mind was to go back and talk to Allah. Imagine, Allah has given Musa alayhi salam the ability, the only opportunity to speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that he wants is to go back and speak to him. That's the only thing on his mind. So he goes back, rushing back, leaving his people behind. He left his people behind. He goes to him and he speaks to Allah. And what does Allah say to him? "Why did you leave your people?" Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a tone that he was unsatisfied. He wasn't happy. So imagine Musa was just like, "Oh man, I did something wrong. Like, okay, Allah's not happy with me," was, right? So when he meets Allah, Allah asks, "Why did you leave your people?" He said, "Oh Allah, they're just right behind me. I just wanted to come and just speak to you, oh Allah." Do you see Musa alayhi salam? He had this direct connection to Allah. In Surah Al-A'raf, he talks to Allah. He says, "Ya Allah, I just want to see your face." Just like every single one of us, we have that urge and want in ourselves just to see Allah's face. But Musa alayhi salam has that extra step because he already had the close connection of speaking to Allah directly. He wanted to take an extra step to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case, he asked Allah, may I see you? Just so that I can glance at you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, he says, "You will not see me. You won't. It's not possible for you. But if you look at that mountain, it should remain in the space and you would see me there. Just glance at that mountain." And then when he glanced at it, the moment Allah revealed himself, the moment Allah lifted the veil that covers the face of Allah, Musa alayhi salam was put to sleep. Because the inability that human beings have towards seeing Allah, it is not possible for our eyes to lay a glance at Allah's face. It's not possible. So imagine the moment when we all enter Jannah and Allah gives us the ability to do so. We don't have the ability in this dunya, but He allows the people in Jannah to be able to see, just to be able to do that. What a grace of Allah upon those people. It is such a blessing. for those people who are not able to, Allah mani', Allah, He did not allow them to have that ability. It's not possible for those people, but it's possible for those who enter Jannah. That moment when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better than every single thing that we know. And wallahi, this is after we have entered Jannah. We've already experienced Jannah, ikhwan. And it is better than knowing, after knowing what Jannah holds for us. And when we see the face of Allah, it is better than Jannah. Imagine that moment. And it's only for who? Allah only allows it for people who enter Jannah. So Musa alayhi salam, after he woke up, what did he say? Subhanaka tubta ilayka wa ana awwal al-mu'minin. He says, Subhanaka, perfection is towards you. Exalted are you. I have repented to you, and I am the first who believe. Do you see? When Allah shows His perfection to the point where Musa alayhi salam himself, a prophet of Allah, is not able to see Him, what did he say? Subhanaka. You are perfect, O Allah. You are perfect, O Allah. I repent to you, and I am the first who believe. Just this whole process that Musa alayhi salam went through rose his iman toward Allah. He didn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that he didn't see Him made him a stronger believer. And he repented to Allah by asking Him. So when we say in this ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa subhanallah wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, you are recognizing. Now remember when we said, hadhihi sabili. When the Prophet Muhammad says to the Quraysh, this is my path, he's recognizing that this path is his. This path is so perfect. Even after you ask others to follow you, you still recognize Allah at the end. You are humble. Even though you own the perfection of this world, which is Islam, Islam is the perfect religion that you are calling others to, at the end of the day, perfection belongs to Allah. Yes, you might be Muslim. Yes, you might be on the mimbar. Yes, you might be leading people in salah. Yes, maybe Allah has given you knowledge. Yes, you might be leading people to Allah, but it's Allah that is perfect, not you. Not you, O Prophet of Allah, not you, O Muhammad. Is it in fact, subhanallah, all perfection is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what you do. Yes, you might be calling people to your path, sabili, my path. But at the end of the day, this path belongs to Allah because it is perfect. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I am not of those who are of the mushrik. It is a very beautiful segue in which Allah recognizes the mushrik of those, when we mentioned the three types of characteristics of a mushrik, he says, I am not among them at the end of his ayah. Rather, he's of those who believe in Allah. Do you see this difference here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a mushrik and tells us of those characters. And Allah aligns the characteristics of a mu'min. And he ends it with, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And I'm not those who disbelieve in Allah. Beautiful sequence of wording here. Now the next ayah speaks more about a mushrik. How much time do we have? Okay, inshallah. We started at 6, right? Around 5:45. Okay, we'll take it. We'll go on for another 15 minutes, inshallah. So the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْهِم مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, he speaks directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a message to the Quraysh through the Prophet about somebody else. Right? And he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِهِ إِلَيْكَ. He says, we only sent before you prophets who are men, and we inspired through them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad, we sent prophets before you as well, trying to remind him about those who are predecessors, who did this before. Those people, the prophets before you, were men. Now, a slight deviance here. In Islam, we know that prophets are only men. Prophets are not of those who are women. Now, there is there's an opinion out there amongst, you know, other learned people, that they say that Maryam alayhi salam was a prophetess, was a woman prophet. However, the stronger opinion is that prophets are only of men, right? And it gives a sense that we as Muslims are taking the task of giving da'wah. We do not send our women out to give da'wah. Now, the job of a prophet is to spread the deen of Allah. And we are told to follow that characteristic. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالٍ, we haven't sent people before you of men who are prophets. We sent who? Men who are prophets. So people who goes and give, who invite others to Islam, are only of men, right? So this job is only for men. And people might think, like, you know what? Like, why is there a difference of gender here? Why does it seem that the preference of men is mentioned in this ayah? Well, let's just counter argue that and say that Allah has given men a job that is difficult, and he doesn't give it to the woman, meaning that he's preferring that a woman should be safe. Allah is actually giving extra protection for the woman. We, on the other hand, have to deal with people like the Quraysh, have to put ourselves in front of the line to deal with people that may be dangerous to us. So you see, it's not really the preference of men here. Rather, it is the balance in which Allah gives men and as well as women in their own case. There are some jobs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides that gives women, and there are some jobs that Allah provides for men, to give men. And that's just how the balance is in Islam, right? So, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says specifically, we have inspired them. We have given wahi to those men, to those prophets. مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ, among the people of the cities. And then he says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. He says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do they not stride on earth? Do they not walk upon earth? Do they not walk upon earth? فَيَنْظُرُونَ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And do they not see the punishment of those who came before them? Do they not see that? Now, we know in the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad that the kuffar, they know of the remnants of those who came before them. They see the remnants of Thamud and Ad. It still exists until today. If you go to the Maidan al-Saleh in Saudi Arabia, you can still see the structure of those people. It's extraordinary because Allah preserved it. Allah preserved those structures because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran. Now I've come to the realization that reality is actually following the reality of the Quran. In other words, there are things that exist in today's time that will continue to exist because it is mentioned in the Quran. Because it exists, Allah will allow it to exist because it is mentioned in the Quran. Because 100 years from now, anytime in the future, when people read this, our children and our grandchildren and their grandchildren, when they read the Quran and they come across these ayats, Allah will preserve specific things because Allah mentions it in the Quran. Reality exists because it is in the Quran. Because only Allah allows it to. Subhanallah. Allah is the most perfect. Now, in the case of those, the punishment that was upon the people of the past, Allah is reminding the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the Quraysh, when they walk upon this earth that I allowed them to walk upon, do they not see those people that was punished before them? Do they not see that? فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And he says that the eternal home, the abode of the Akhirah, the place that we will stay forever, خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. It is better for those people who has taqwa. So he just spoke about people who ignore the sign of Allah. That is exact opposite of people who had taqwa of Allah. When you have taqwa on Allah, you don't deny anything from Allah. You are conscious of Allah and everything that He provides for you. Everything that He shows you, every sign that is in front of you, that is taqwa. When you're conscious of every single thing, every single sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. The home that Allah provide us in the hereafter, it is better for those who have taqwa. very beautifully sets in these words. When Allah speaks about the mushrik, and Allah speaks about those who are mu'min, those who have taqwa. And the punishment for those who are mushrik, and the blessing and the reward of those who have taqwa. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do they not pay heed to this? Do you not see what's in front of you? Don't we see that? Us Muslims today in this masjid, do we not see it? Do we not pay heed to it? Do we not understand what's going on here? Allah speaking to us. This is Allah's message to us. 2023. Do we not pay heed to it, my brothers? Do we not pay attention? Allah is showing us clear signs. Clear signs. Do we not see this? Do we not see what is laid in front of us here? He speaks specifically about the mushrik and what they do and how they deny everything from Allah. And he tells us another example of a mu'min that has taqwa in Allah. Allah gives us two examples for us to follow. One to not to follow, and another to follow. Clear signs. And this is how Allah puts every single thing in its place for us to follow. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do we not understand? Do we not see? Now, I want to speak about, speaking about the perished nations, right? Those who were punished of the past. There's actually a class that is coming up next week on the 26th. And our Maghrib class is actually called Perished Nations. The people of Saleh, Hud and Shu'ib, alayhim salam. And it's given by the Sheikh Majid Mahmoud, and it's going to be, I believe, on a Saturday, next week, inshallah. So if you're interested, I can give you the details of this class. And it is a really good way to understand this ayah, actually. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the punishment of those before us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them in different surahs. And these surahs gives us the understanding on how these people, these great nations, powerful nations, are all just but dust today. And the remnants that Allah left us with to remind us what had happened to those people. So I highly recommend this class for those who are interested. And it's just a one-day class. And it gives us insight because the Prophet Muhammad, he was questioned, actually during his later time, when he was older, at the end of Islam, at the end of his life, some of the Sahabas actually narrated that he started to have white hair. And most of the white hair was right under his lips, his soul patch. And it was said that he had anywhere from 17 to 20 strands of white hair, right? So there's hadith by Abu Bakr. He went to the Prophet Muhammad SAW, and he said to him, he says, you've aged. He said, meaning that you've grown up in age. You're older now. Right? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, شَيِّبَتْنِي هُود. He said, شَيِّبَتْنِي هُود وَالْوَاقِعَ مُرْسَلَاتْ عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And he says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ قُوِّرَتْ. He said, these specific surahs made me have white hair. Now what does that mean? These specific surahs, again, Hud, Waqi'ah, Mursalat, Amma Yatasa'alun, and Idha Shamsu Quwirat. These five specific ayats, or surahs, made him so stressed. It gave him this fear. Now, it's a good fear, because a fear that reminds you of Allah is a good fear. But it gave him so much anxiety about the punishment of Allah and how Allah punished these specific people and made him grow white hair. And that's what he said. So if we're interested, I really suggest to take these ayats, or to take this this class, which is next week, inshallah. And lastly, I just want to recognize a few points before we end. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us the punishment of those of the past, as well as the reward of those who have taqwa, it is a subtle way that Allah not only reminds the Quraysh, but is reminding us as mu'mins also, as believers, that we should pay close attention to their mistakes so that we don't follow those footsteps. So remember the hadith that we mentioned when the Prophet Muhammad drew a line, and he drew other lines as well. This is what happened to those of the past. They've taken the strides of different paths. And these strides doesn't lead to Allah. It is very, very important for us to understand that there's only one path to follow. If we do not follow this path, every other path leads to destruction, leads to hellfire. It does not lead to Allah. And with that, we will end it there, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته